What's going on, everybody? Welcome back once again to the Professional Risk Takers podcast. We got a very, very exciting topic to talk to you guys about tonight. As always, Matthew and my homeboy.
I'm Lorenzo. And today we have a really special guest with us. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi.
Rebecca. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Absolutely.
We've been anticipating this episode for a while.
Yeah, we planned it for a while.
Yeah. I know you were trapped somewhere this week. We can get into that later today. But tell us a little bit about you. Who is Rebecca? Where do you come from? What do you do? What's your story?
Tell us.
Hi. Well, I'm Rebecca McGarvey. I sell real estate in Durham Region here. Been selling real estate since 2008, so 14 years.
Residential?
Yeah, residential real estate. I sell and investment properties.
You invest or you sell in?
I sell investment properties. I help people invest in real estate. And I purchase investment properties as well.
For yourself?
Yes, for myself.
Do you sell commercial?
Not too much. I don't get into commercial as much. It's a whole different ball game. It's a lot more, I'm going to say detailed oriented, right. A lot more long term when purchasing and helping
cool.
sell
a
those.
Process,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. Let me know who the risk takers are here.
All right.
About that. We got in a little bit.
Kick it off, Matt.
Lorenzo and I are basically just entrepreneurs to keep it broad. We're business owners. We've been business owners, mostly in the construction industry. Most of our audience does know that already, but this is something him and I have wanted to do for a while. We want to just provide value, bring on guests like you with experience in the real world, right? Because people can go to school and, you know, get taught things out of a textbook, but in my opinion, theory only gets you so far. So, you know, people like you as a real estate agent, mortgage brokers, lawyers, insurance brokers, these are people that can bring real value to the people watching, you know, young people, business owners, anyone really trying to take a risk. So we're just trying to push people to take professional, calculated risks, right?
Absolutely. And be able to take that leap of faith, take that next step. What we want to have real life stories and experiences that we can share with the audience, hopefully it'll motivate them as well. So that's why we were anticipating having you on the show. We heard so many good things about you.
Lots. Before we move on to the depth of this, do you have any more questions for her or we
got? I will, but main thing about the investment properties, like how'd you get started and when'd you get started?
I got licensed in 2008 and, within a year I had, kind of started listening to, like the real estate investment network and, started, learning about investing in real estate. Mm-hmm. So I actually bought my first, condo in, Oshawa. In 2009. Yes. Yeah. I don't know if you know the area, Nong Kwan.
Absolutely. I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I bought my first place there. And actually, by the time I went to sell it, after I think 6 years I'd had that, I ended up, I bought it for 90,000 and, sold it for 300 because the market had started changing and going up. I sold it 6 years ago.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. And 90,000. Who hears those numbers now? Right. That's crazy.
And this was a primary residence. You lived in this?
No.
It was just an investment
property.
Okay, okay.
It was my first ever property about a year and a half after I got into real estate. Mm-hmm. And I really liked your idea with your name of your company because I'm a bit of a risk taker and have been.
Tell us about it.
So basically I started off young. My mother was not around a lot, very bad kind of upbringing. I was raised by my father and my brothers and kind of hustled and
tough.
Yeah. And, somebody had mentioned to me that I should get into real estate, that I knew lots of people and could talk. And so I decided, okay, I'll try it and, got into real estate and, bought my first investment property a year and a half later. And I was really nervous buying my first property. Mm-hmm. But after that, I just started going and buying properties and going and firm and just, you know, working with proper lenders and started building my wealth that way. And it's been an incredible journey for me.
So execution is what you're getting at, right?
Yeah.
You pulled the trigger because a lot of people, they read a lot of books, they watch a lot of YouTube, they talk to people, you know, who have done this. But I mean, the term knowledge is power only really goes so far, right? Knowledge is knowledge. Power is when you execute, right? So it seems like you did that. You did that from an early age and, you know, here you are now. I know you've got, you know, some other things going on for you now in your life. So we can get to that as we speak a little bit more. But for anyone be kind of starting, or scared to take that first step, you know, first time home buyers, how would you describe, you know, today, what are we, October 2022, right. What are the market conditions right. like now? And it's for someone like you who's in this day in and day out, you see the highs, you see the lows, you see the happiness, you see people scared.
Right.
Anything you have to say for, you know, maybe first time home buyers, a single guy or a couple?
Yeah, so I think right now in this kind of market, it's changing. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the interest rates going up and up and up because inflation, right. Government trying to control things. But with that being said, you're seeing the prices come down a bit. The market is not dying out like a lot of the news likes to say. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say we're becoming a balanced market where it's going to become a buyer's market again. As the interest rates go up a little bit or a lot, not a lot, a lot, but right. you know, there's still,
hopefully not too much
you know,
more.
I hope not either. Right. But the prices will come down. So at the bottom end, hopefully it'll balance where buyers will be able to purchase. You know, and I'm going to tell people to be patient. I'm going to think mm-hmm. in January and the new year is when we're going to start to see a little bit more of a dip where we're going to see a lot more prices coming down, people adjusting their prices, mm-hmm. On the properties. That being said, like last week, there was, let's say, I like to call them flip houses. Mm-hmm. I flip houses as well,
nice,
too,
nice.
Which is kind of cool.
I'll bring you on the team.
Yeah.
Sitting over here. Yeah.
Right. There was one that got listed last week and there was 28 offers on it, multiple wow. offers, right? Because
in this market.
Yes, in this
That's
market.
That's fantastic.
But it was listed really low. So there is buyers out there and the money's there. Mm-hmm. But now people are being smarter. They're not going into the crazy bidding wars or overpaying for houses when the houses need work to be done.
So that was a question I had. Like, how do you be smarter, like you just said? So if I'm new to the market, how would I be smarter? Like, what would a tip be?
Well, I would think maybe really working with the right agent. So if you are trying to purchase a house right now and you're in the process and an agent's pushing you to buy a house right now, mm-hmm. you know, I'd be a little bit weary, mm-hmm. right? Just because I'm saying it. But, you've got to make sure that buyers are qualified properly, making sure that they're looking at the house, the structure and everything. And just, I say, working with an agent that's going to take care of them and, you know, care right. for them, right? So,
and back, you know, I mean, you made the point of just being patient.
Yeah.
Right? Patience goes a long way. Right. Those are those few words, like we always talk about discipline. And pay. Like I said, I always say they're tossed around pretty loosely, these words, but they really do a lot for you. If you can stay patient, you know, I mean, no one can ever time the bottom of a market or the top of a market. I mean, no. If you do, I'm going to say you're lucky, but like you can, no. you can be patient, right?
And I'd be like calling the stock
yeah,
market.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. I mean, if everyone.
No one's got the crystal ball.
In right? hindsight, I mean, houses. That weren't worth 1.4 million in my area. We're selling for 1.4 million, right? And if mm-hmm. you know, I look back, I'm like, damn, I should have sold in January, February. Well, everyone should have sold in January, February, right? But
we all have those feelings,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
You, ride the road. Real estate is something you take the ride up, you take the ride down. It's
exactly.
It's not very liquid unless the market is hot, and that's kind of what we were experiencing. I know you mentioned people got greedy. Right.
Oh yeah,
especially the last market that we had, it was so hot before we got in here.
Yeah, just when the market was really bad. Yeah, it's it got greedy. I think right. People were just like the expectations, and people were putting numbers on the houses, and then the multiple offers, and people were just driving it up. Right. And that was I didn't like that market. You know, I didn't like that market for the buyers or the sellers. Some of them, right?
You know. Did you hear any crazy stories?
Oh. Yeah. So many, like houses selling within a day, sight unseen, no conditions. Mm-hmm. Like the typical thing is like, yeah, you have to have like, you know, conditional upon financing or upon
home inspection.
There was no inspection.
There was no inspection. Yeah, so yeah. Like as an agent, like how are you dealing with that? Like,
well, I happen to, because I do a lot of flipping into houses, I've got to do some really extensive houses, like houses that have been damaged by fire, like really bad houses. So I put them back together. So I'm pretty knowledgeable. So when that market was going on and I was representing buyers, I have the experience to walk around and make sure that the house is good and solid,
right.
You know, because if you're in a multiple offer situation, you're going in full in if you really want that house. Mm-hmm. So again, it's just making sure you're working with the right people. Always working with the right people. If you want to invest in real estate, if you want to invest in stocks, you want to invest in anything, you make sure that people that you're learning from are doing it or have done it.
Real teachers.
Right.
Like
that. Right? Right. That's exactly. What I like
real
to
experience.
Say.
Real experience. Yeah. Because it is like, it is a single purchase, the biggest one that people will make in their life. And there's a lot of emotion attached to that
definitely.
Too, right? So like, if you're not dealing with the right person, it's a recipe could be Would you agree that it could be a recipe for disaster too?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And just get a, you know, a horrible feeling, like the buyers or the sellers get a horrible feeling to realtors. And, mm-hmm. it's a bad experience.
And you know what? I mean, we're all, at the end of the day, we're human. And I kind of deal with this. I mean, I'm sure you do too. Right. Like in our industry, you got to have a bit of a conscience too. Like, I'm sure there was a lot of, I wouldn't say crooked, but just like real estate agents who were just taking full advantage of selling anyone anything in those markets. Just, you know, get their commission, get their pays out. And even like us, and when I'm doing a basement or doing a house and I see something wrong, like, or a homeowner trying to make the wrong, you know, about to make the wrong decision, you want to at least give them your professional advice. Like, if it's not time to buy the house, it's good. You're saying, be patient. Right. You could be here telling everyone, you know, come to me, buy a house, you want to put some money in your pocket, but it just shows that you give a shit.
Yeah.
Right? And you got it.
Yeah.
You
still
care.
Have to be ethical.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Right. You have to have their best interests at heart.
So that's good. Because some people, they go into construction and real estate, they don't know what. And there's nothing wrong with that. People, it's a new language, right? Like,
absolutely.
I don't know anything about being a doctor or a lawyer. Yeah. So like you have to be that teacher.
Right.
Absolutely. And guide them.
Yeah. I kind of founded, through my career, I built a bit of a team. Okay. And I've got we kind of built the Real Estate Connection. Connecting you to all your real estate investment needs. Because awesome. Again, I'm about connecting everybody, you know, whether it's a mortgage broker, whether it's your inspector, or, you know, sometimes I would meet clients when I started off in real estate. People would have, you know, their houses were in dire need and they were losing their house. I would go in and fix it up and get it on the market for them. Just, you know, I kind of like to just go in above and beyond for people, because to me, I came from nothing. Mm-hmm. And to me, helping people is just, it's just something dear to me.
To me, it sounds like you're building more relationships.
Yeah.
Right, as opposed to having that single transaction and then buy.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you agree, like in anything really, what we do for work or like, especially in your industry, building the relationship is key.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Well, when you get the cousins and the brothers and the sisters, they want to send their family and friends to someone they trust.
So absolutely.
You build that trust. Yeah. So you can hit the grand slam and, you know, make that killer sale or that killer basement. Yeah. But like, where's the return on that? To think, you think long term, not you know, you don't want to be the one hit wonder.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, with everything too, right?
That's good. That's good.
And you have also repeat business over the years.
Yes. Yeah, I've been in the business 14 years, and I've been grateful to get a lot of repeat business, referrals I work by. When I first started off in real estate, I ended up working at the Five Points Mall, which was a mall in Oshawa. And we had a little kiosk there, a Remax kiosk. So I used to sit in there and, you know, just talk to people, because again, you know, when you're in real estate, it's all about sales, not sitting in an office trying to get business.
Right.
And then after that, the Five Points Mall closed down, because they started doing that addition or the breakdown and building new.
That storage facility or whatever they have now, right?
Yeah. So we ended up taking the Remax kiosk and going inside of Walmart up at Harmony Road. So I was in there for a little
musical
while
stores.
As well,
right?
Yeah, but it was, it was pretty good that way too, just to have the, you know, being out there and talking to people, right? So, awesome. It's been pretty cool.
And that's key too, like in the business that we work in as well, like you got to have that connection with people, building that relationship and building that trust. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's worked out for you over the years as well, right?
Yeah.
And another thing, at least in my industry, and I'm sure in your industry, like real estate aside and customers aside and money aside and income, you build a big network of people, right? Like now we're friends, right? So I have a new real estate agent, you have a new contractor, right?
Right.
We have, you know, the main man Dan over here.
I've actually got another line up for a flip house. So we will talk.
That's it.
All right.
So just imagine, I mean, you get that compounding effect, right? Over 14 years, how many other agents have you met? How many home buyers have you met that have been able to add value to your life and vice versa? So it's really a lot more than the money. The money, you need money to live. We all want to make money. We all want to do well, but the connections you can make, the impact you can have, and the lives you can help and help you, you know, like
you just gave me goosebumps. It's what you can do to help them, and that's what gratitude's me. Like even when I'm doing these houses that I flip, I've done like five now. And but when I get these houses and they're just garbage, I call them really bad garbage, and I put them back together, it just makes me like, you know, it's just so
it feels
cool,
good, right?
Yeah.
So you have that vision, you see it fulfilled.
Yeah. Right? That's step back and see your work. That's that's probably the best part of what I think
that is
a
great feeling,
is like,
for sure.
You know, it's like you can step back and literally just see a picture perfect thing that you built, you know, with your team, with your crew, with whatever, with yourself, with, you know, it's a good feeling. It's
yeah.
A good feeling.
And I've been thankful. Like, I've got some great contractors as well. Right. So, but, I also like to bring other people too, to, just do other ventures as well.
That's
so
good.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about some of the investment properties. I was, a lot of people that we talked to in the network, like they're expanding their horizon when it comes to investments. Some are looking to overseas, some are looking to the US. And for instance, I have a good friend of mine, he's got a property in Texas. He was talking to me about that. And it's interesting when I compare what's happening down there with what we see up here for dollar value.
Right.
And Matt and I were actually talking about that. And I was like, oh man, in Texas, there's like some great deals.
Like mansions.
In comparison, for dollar value, in comparison to what we see up here, like what are you seeing out there, like with your investment properties?
Well, I'll start a little bit. I ended up having 14 properties at one point, investment properties here in Canada.
What year was that?
I've scaled them down. So 4 years ago, I'm down to, four rental properties. I've got a fiveplex building, a duplex, two single detaches. There's rentals right now, and that's all I'm holding now. I started selling off a lot of my real estate, just kind of watching the way the government's going and the way the Canadian economy and everything else is going. I've decided to start kind of moving my money elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually a big investor overseas.
Okay.
Talking about the U.S. investing, again, if you're investing in the U.S., you're, you know, you're still in the government up here, Canada, U.S., and I don't know.
So like taxation, obviously, is something you got to watch out for.
Right.
Correct.
If you're, taxations, investing, in Canada or the U.S., I've actually started, investing in a little spot in the Caribbean. We like to call it the gem of the Caribbean, and that's in Belize.
Okay.
So I've learned a lot about investing in Belize. I'm very passionate about that place. I started investing down there.
Four years ago. Look at the smile.
Right, for sure.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's just, it's great down there. I don't know. The investment opportunity is crazy. There's no capital gain taxes. There's no, very little property taxes. There's lots of development going on, just starting down there. Oh my goodness.
Lots of opportunities, you were saying.
There's so much opportunities for investing.
Is this why you picked Belize, or did you just end up there?
Well,
was this an accident? What's the route you took?
Here we go. The risks, right?
Yeah.
And I put things out there. I've been a very, you know, if you put things out there,
100%.
Hopefully things are going to come to you. Traveling the U.S. or the Caribbean, and for some reason, I just knew I needed to be in the Caribbean somewhere, right?
Right.
I love the vibe. I love the, you know, the sun, the atmosphere, everything. And about 5 years ago, two of my clients decided they were going to sell their house and they were moving to Belize. And I said, Belize? I'm like, what is Belize? I've never even heard of Belize.
It's a small country.
Right? It's a tiny country, right? And so then I was involved in the Durham Investment Network Group.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year after my clients had sold, I was there and got invited to go to a tour in Belize to invest. So I said, okay, the universe keeps telling me I got to go.
Pointing you in that direction.
Right?
Okay.
So
I'm moving to Belize.
So I ended up in a spot in the northern part of Belize in Amherstie Key, which is just like a key up on the northern parts. Belize kind of runs down Mexico, and then Honduras runs behind it, Guatemala.
Right.
And so on the north part, I bought three lots up in a development up there, and then another lot in a Mahogany Bay Resort, which is a resort area that's developing up there.
This girl's on fire.
I know, right? And then
we're going to have to make a trip.
We have to.
Next episode, we're coming
through. Yeah, that's right.
Definitely we were. We will. So then I ended up flying down to Placentia 2 years ago, and that's on the southern end of Belize. And I ended up purchasing a house right on the Caribbean Sea. Wow. Like I have a seafront and oh, like right on the sea, two-level house. Like, yeah, I almost want to cry because yeah. I just, it's so for real, right? Like, you know,
right.
And then, yeah. And I'm just so passionate about Belize and what is going to happen down there and the okay. investment opportunities for people.
So you it's know? An early market to get into if you want to invest there. Would you
so
say that?
So early. Yes. And,
put our office down there.
Yeah. I ended up, I was just down in Belize actually. For a week, and I ended up being there a week and a half because I got stuck because of hurricanes, and right. ended up meeting a development group that's down there that is fantastic. Going to explode an area. Asked me to partner with them. They've got houses, they've got condos, they've got so much development that's going to go on down there. And I'm so excited to talk more about it. But once I learn more about it, my goodness. Yeah. But yeah, it's, I don't know. To me, from what I've learned, and I follow the markets, I invest in stocks, I invest in like all sorts of stuff, which we can get
another chat.
Right.
But
you diversify your money.
Yes, I've been diversifying. Diversifying, not keeping everything in one pocket, right? Mm-hmm. But then I'm just kind of watching what's going on with the government and stuff. And I think I want to exit Canada in the next like 5 years, really.
You know what? It's interesting you say that because a lot of people, like even in some of the networks that we are part of, like it's more and more I hear that same train of thought, like if people wanting a change because of what's like the political climate here or whatever's happening here and they want something different. And it sounds like where there's opportunity, that's where people are going to go.
Mm-hmm. Right. And watch this too, though. So let's say like, you know, a lot of people looking to retire when they're 50, 55. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have equity in your house. You have money in your house. You can take that equity and put something, buy something down in Belize. And then when you're ready to come live down there, it's a great opportunity for people like, oh my goodness. There's so many people that are, I'm going to say like, you know, retired, living mm-hmm. down there and just having such a better lifestyle, the sun, the seawater, the food, right. the healthy living. It's just, you know, it's
very... Do you
very...
rent your Belize place when you're not there?
I haven't started yet, but I'm going to work on that. That's I might do a little mm-hmm. bit of long-term because where I am, I'm on a peninsula in Palencia, which I can show you a cool
it's
video.
A tongue twister.
Yes, it is. I've actually got a really cool video of
Instagram
me flying
name,
in. Right? So I'm up by northern kind of on the peninsula. So in order for people to go up in Airbnb, it'd be a lot of work, right? I have to get somebody up there, house cleaning. So mm-hmm. I think a little bit of a long term. I've got two units on my house, which I can show you after we're done.
Yeah, right. I'd love to see that.
And then I thought maybe just doing the bottom as like a long term, like a 6 month, because a lot of people as well, they're starting to come down. A lot of US people, like Texas people. That's probably why you can buy
kind of
cheap
people.
In Texas. That's probably why
everyone's leaving.
Everyone's leaving.
But so they're gorgeous properties down there.
Right. But what are you going to do with them? Are people going to rent them or what's going to go on? What was your thought?
So I was going to circle back to something on that thought, like of investing. When people have equity in their home, especially like, let's say you get closer to like your retirement stage in life.
Yes.
Is it, and again, we talk about opinions and things like that. We're not about telling people what to do, but if you have equity in your home, is it some have, and I guess the old feeling is, yeah, I got equity in my home. I'm good. I'm going to leave it there because what if one day?
Right.
But wouldn't it be advantageous and wise to make use of that? And put it somewhere where it kind of works for you. Like, what's your take on that?
Well, again, I'm a risk taker. So to me, yes, definitely. You take
get
that
this
money
girl back.
Out.
Yeah, exactly. She's part of the team.
So you take that money out. You take that money out and you put it into an investment that's in a rental pool or something. And you're getting paid that money. The rental money's paying that money back anyways. And then you've always got a place if you wanted to go to.
Exactly.
Or if in like 5 years, when you start working with me even more, then I'm going to help you get into more property. Then you have a house down there.
She's going to bring you to Belize.
Sell stuff. Like, you know, really.
Because for our audience, like we always want to be able to give some sort of like insider value. And some, I think, would hesitate to be like, how do I, is it a complicated process to access your equity? Is it dangerous to, or not dangerous, but is it risky to take your equity out and then put it somewhere else? Like you obviously have the experience with it. What could we tell our audience about that?
Well, again, it's just making sure you're getting the proper advice and working with the proper people. And, you know, again, just sitting down with somebody who's knowledgeable and knows what they're talking about and just kind of writing numbers down, right? And, you know, the biggest thing for me is I would first talk to them and show them, kind of write down some numbers, show you different things. And it's not hard to take equity out of the house, especially if you've got a lot of equity.
Right.
And the process isn't hard to buy or do that, again, if you're working with the right people, right? That's directing you properly. And never, ever, ever feel like you're being pushed. If you ever feel like you're being pushed by somebody, run away, right? Like,
That's
not how, right?
Exactly. Any line of work, really.
Right.
They're the ulterior motives, right?
Well, and you got to remember, too, a lot of people in the mindset have never thought about investing in Belize, never thought about investing anywhere in the Caribbean or anywhere.
Right.
A lot of places in the Caribbean, Mexico, Jamaica, and all that stuff, you don't actually own the land. In Belize, you own the property, fee simple ownership, which means it's just like buying in Canada, right? You own the property and the land.
On your topic of like long-term and short-term renting, so I do have a property, an investment property in Calgary. I've pulled equity from my home, and I was going back and forth on how I wanted to do this, like what I wanted to do with it. I saw an opportunity, price was good, opportunity was there, so I took the chance, and I had basically had about a year.
Took the risk.
Yeah, I took the risk. And I had about a year to figure out, like I was in already, like I was in. I was invested, I had my money in there, and I had a year to figure out what I wanted to do when this place got, it's a condo, when it was finished being built. And, you know, how I wanted to go about it. Like, did I want to sell it immediately? Did I want to rent it? What kind of rental? But I ended up doing a long term. So I flew out there, met a property manager, signed some papers, gave him the keys. I don't even know who lives in there. Perfect. I don't know who lives in there. I didn't find them. The next day, he had a photographer in there. Next day after that, he had it listed. Next day after that, it was rented. So it's on a 1 year. It's on a 1 year lease. I don't know who's in there. Anything that happens naturally to the property, I got to cover. Mm-hmm. But he deals with evictions. He collects the money. He takes his percentage and then he sends it to me. So it's stress-free, right? Short-term is different. You can maybe make more money short-term renting, Airbnb and stuff. But there's more, I would say, more overhead and more problems that can occur. I mean, you have partiers. You don't know who's in there. Whereas if there's one person living in there, they're responsible, right? And then with short-term, you got to go in and clean. So it really depends on your personality and who's looking after the property, right? In Belize, you're not going to live there, right? So short-term might be tough, but it's not necessarily a bad idea.
Right.
It really comes down to what you can handle, right?
Right. Well, going back to you having good connections, you got a great property manager right there. Mm-hmm. So again, investing in Belize, we've got rental pools set up. So we're taking care of all the rentals in and out. So it's, again, property management, to making sure the property management's good and running the connection with people.
Power of networking. Absolutely.
Huge. You got anything else to say or ask? Or?
Well, now all this talk about Belize, I'm thinking about going to Belize.
I'm booking my tickets.
Down.
When are you going back again?
I'm actually going back down
tomorrow.
I think on the 22nd, because of this partnership that I'm getting involved with.
Building an empire.
Amazing.
Yes, we are building an empire down there. So I've been asked to come
down. Don't forget your first podcast. Elon Musk.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about Elon Musk. He's my favorite. I love Elon. He's so smart. But anyways, yeah, so I'm going back down probably the 22nd of October and just going down for maybe 6 days because I was asked to come down and meet with these big people on the development that's going
down.
On this partnership that I was asked to be involved with. And then I'm trying to get Dan to come down the first week of December.
Twist his arm.
Jump down too with your wives and come down and video on the development process stuff that we're going to start talking about.
That's amazing.
I love Dan to obviously video me. He does all my videos.
Yes, that's how we got to see who you were.
That's how we met.
So for anyone who doesn't know, this is our first time meeting Rebecca. This is as real as raw as it gets.
Exactly.
There's no BS here. We met her through our videographer. we loved her persona. We saw some of her videos before.
We're like, we gotta book Rebecca.
We're glad to have you on. I've been looking forward to it. When you got trapped in Belize, I'm like, damn it. I hope she doesn't miss this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't want to miss this one.
That's good.
Any
final words, any advice to about anything we talk to, and then just a few ways people can reach you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Rebecca McGarvey. I'm pretty simple. Rebecca McGarvey, Instagram, Rebecca McGarvey, Facebook. I guess I'm Rebecca Watson McGarvey.
And you serve as Durham Region, or do you sell?
Yeah, I'm a Durham Region. I actually run a team. I've got two girls, good friends of mine that work with me. Jennifer Park, Lauren Collins. We do Core of the Lakes, Durham Region.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I'm so passionate about investing in real estate. I love that part of it. Teaching people, helping people. And yeah, just connect with the right people. If you guys want real estate advice, as always, making sure you're with the right people.
Connect with Rebecca for sure.
We'll leave her information down below, guys.
Absolutely. Connect with Rebecca.
Lorenzo, any final words?
We're talking about Belize.
We're talking about Belize.
Not Texas, because
here we go.
Who's going to rent in Texas?
Well, I was thinking about the States, too.
Florida's going to be really cheap to buy now, too.
Absolutely, especially after what happened, right? So
you don't want to, why would you buy down there? And there's a storm like that, right? Like, you're going to, I think it's going to take a while to regrow down there.
It's unfortunate, but it definitely will. That's going to take some time.
Well, didn't you want to touch on stocks?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I do. You said you invest in them. Just real quick, do you buy and hold, or do you day trade? Are you on the?
I don't day trade yet.
So you're an investor in stocks.
Yeah, I'm an investor in stocks. Huge investor in Tesla. I have a Tesla. Love Elon Musk's
ideas. What kind of Tesla did you get?
I have the Model Y.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Excellent.
And it has
I want to get
driving.
The truck. I want to get the truck. A little army tank.
Right.
And then you get a four-wheeler or something with that, right?
Yeah. So they stop production.
Awesome.
But yeah, I've been invested in the stock market as and crypto a bit.
I'm going to definitely right on. You on for another episode.
Absolutely. Because that's a whole other topic.
we talked about it once in the past, just my experience, but I would love to have a little head-to-head with you and then to get your opinion on it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, maybe we could do that with maybe a flip property that we get.
That would be great. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca. This has been such a great episode, and happy to have you. You're our official pro risk taker now with us.
Yeah, you get the stamp.
Right? Absolutely.
We appreciate it. We love your energy. You're definitely going to be back on here.
Absolutely.
This is the circle in the network we're trying to build. So
mm-hmm.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you guys for watching.
Thanks, guys.
Just remember what we got coming up.
Oh, we got some amazing stuff coming up, but stay tuned for your daily dose. All right, so here's your daily dose, and today's a special one. Today we're going to be reading from The Millionaire Fast Lane from MJ DeMarco and quoting from page 125. It says this: can you see now why some 30-year-olds are worth 50 million and some are worth 19,000? The universe of one group operates on gains of 1,700% returns and the other on 8% returns. What's the translation on this one? Again, we're going to keep it simple for you. Your income does not have to be dictated by your salary. Now, professional risk takers, we always encourage you, take that leap of faith. That's your daily dose. Hope you enjoyed.